Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? As the political season heats up with primaries and midterm elections, we've all watched the various advertisements and commercials that have been popping up on our TVs and on our internet social media apps. And as I've seen this and seen the different commercials and campaigning advertisements, I can't help but to be ever more aware of slander. I am ever more aware of that during these types of seasons. And everywhere you look and everywhere you turn, it seems like one candidate is slandering another. And now it seems that in politics, there's been a decreasing decorum and ever-growing rate of slander. Now, as Christians, we believe slander should not be even in the political realm. A slander is a sin. And we can grow oftentimes very disheartened and discouraged when we see slander in politics, but how much more should we be grieved and disheartened and discouraged when we see slander in the church? See, slander is a demonic, heinous, deadly, damaging, poisonous sin of the tongue. And yet, as Jerry Bridges would write, it is one of those often in the church, respectable sins. One's a sin of slander that is so often ignored, looked over, or accepted. But now the book of James, with its piercing, convicting application, I don't know if you have felt that during this sermon series, I certainly have. James just pierces right to the heart. And one of the themes that James keeps returning to is the theme of the tongue and how our hearts control our tongues. And by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, and we have these words, we know ourselves that we as Christians oftentimes struggle with taming our tongues. We struggle with the sin of the tongue. And James has addressed this several times throughout the course of his letter. In James 1:19, what does he say? He says we should be quick to hear and slow to speak. James also says in 1:26, if a man cannot control his tongue, his religion is worthless. James also instructs that many should not become teachers because the main tool of the teacher is his tongue, and the teacher will be held to a greater strictness than those that do not teach. And then James 3 talks about the tongue even more and kind of takes a deep dive about the tongue and the nature of the tongue, the power of the tongue. We learn that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And James compares the tongue to a small rudder on a boat that can steer a large ship, or a bit in a horse's mouth that can turn that majestic animal. He also says it is a deadly poison, what we can say with our tongues, and that the wrong word at the wrong time, it can be like a small ember that makes a forest go up in flames. So James teaches that the heart can be deadly. It can do damage. It can hurt. He then challenges us in James 3, how can salt water and fresh water come out of the same tongue? He says, how can one mouth praise God and then in another moment curse God's image? Then James, right before this, gives us a treatment on worldliness. And now he's going to return to the tongue, something that we so often struggle with. And he's going to be even more specific and dialed in for us tonight. He's going to talk about the sin of slander. And it's in the context of worldliness and humility that he brings this up. We know that the world is a dog-eat-dog world, and so oftentimes people get slandered in the world, and they'll put others down to lift themselves up. And so he talks about slander in a context of humility and worldliness. See, the world seeks to run each other down, but the church seeks to build each other up. And so he's going to say, hey, we cannot live like the world. We are people of humility. We cannot go around slandering like the world. We as the church cannot speak evil of one another. And that is exactly what he says in verse 11, if you would look at verse 11. He gives us command. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Notice he uses the word brother. He's talking to a Christian church, and he says this explicit command. Do not speak evil against one another. Now, that word that means speak evil, that word there means quite literally to talk down to slander, to have malicious and unhelpful talk come out of your mouth about someone else. It's accusatory in that way. It sometimes can be translated as backbiting. This word about speaking evil carries the connotation of going behind someone's back and speaking against them and speaking down of them, speaking evil of them, speaking of them in an unhelpful way. He said that's evil talk that the Christian is not to have. Now, in other places of Scripture, it talks about slander even more. The book of Job says that slander is the scourge of the tongue, meaning just as they used to scourge people, it would leave marks on their back. He says our tongues do that to the human heart. It leaves marks and deep wounds in a person. That's what slander does. The slanderer's tongue scourges the person's heart in which they are slandering. Jeremiah 18:18 says that the slanderer's tongue smites another person, meaning it strikes, it's like a sword, it pierces, it wounds, it slashes the other person with words. See, slander attacks the good name and reputation of someone else with false claims and evil intent. Just as a scorpion carries poison in its tail, a slanderer carries poison in their tongue. Slander is also often related to the devil. You see that in 1 Timothy 3. In fact, it calls the devil a slanderer. He's an accuser of the brethren. See, slandering other people, talking down, talking evil of them, is demonic. It is a sin. It is a deadly sin. It is a great and heinous sin. It attacks the relational currency of a person, their reputation, and their good name. And slander seeks to destroy and tear down the very image of God. Slander seeks to destroy the very people we are called to love. And it's something the devil himself even does. Slander is also a violation of the ninth commandment that you should not bear false witness. Slander is going around and maliciously and purposely bearing falsehoods in order to bring people down so that you can be lifted up. And just in case you didn't think God takes slander seriously, there's a plenty of spots in the Bible, in the Scripture, where God specifically condemns the sin of slander. So not only here in James, he says, do not slander one another, but in Proverbs 10:18, it says, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Proverbs 6, we know that slander is malicious lying. What's one of the six things God hates that we learn from Proverbs 6? Lying. Romans 1:30, with that catalog of sins of a reprobate mind. What's in that list? Slanderers. That's the type of category God thinks about slanderers. He puts them in a category of people with reprobate minds that are evil, that he's turned over to himself. Psalm 50, verses 19 through 21. The psalmist writes, you give your mouth free rein for evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I have been silent and you thought I was one like yourself. But now, God says, I rebuke you and lay charge before you. Slander brings about the charge of guilty before a holy God. But also slander is connected to pride and arrogance and haughtiness. You see it in context here. And you also see it once again in Psalm 101, 5 and 6. It says, whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. It's what God says about his law and about slander. As a slanderer, I will destroy. And he says, whoever has a haughty look and arrogant heart, I will not endure. See how God connects pride and slander together, because the person who slanders is prideful because they're seeking to tear down another person and lift themselves up. That's why it's placed here in James. That we aren't to lift ourselves up by slander. We're to humble ourselves. And then what does the prior verse in verse 10 say? Who will lift us up when we humble ourselves? God will lift us up. We don't have to tear down other people to be lifted up. We're called to be humble, to build up, to speak encouragement into the life of others, not tear others down, especially in the church. So then he goes on, and he says in verse 11, the one who speaks against his brother or judges his brother, says, speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, right? What's James's whole theme throughout his letter? Don't be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. He's saying if you are a slanderer, you're not a doer of the law. And then he goes on to say, in verse 12, there's only one lawgiver and judge. He is able to save and destroy. But who are we to judge our neighbor? So now, how does slander relate to the law and judgmentalism? What you see is that James has given us a clearer picture of what slander actually is. Slander is condemning, judgmental speech and spirit. Is that speaking down? It's judging the law. It's standing over the law. And as we stand over it through slander, we actually become a breaker of the law. See, slandering and judging are so closely related, because what you are doing with slander is elevating yourself to a position higher than you're supposed to be. So now let's take one quick moment to talk about judging, though. Just a little caveat over here. What does exactly James mean when he says that we are not to judge? We need a clear understanding of this. Because in today's world, when people say, hey, don't judge, they'll quote Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged. And what do they really mean by that? They're trying to shut down any sort of conversation that would have any sort of modicum of accountability in it. People think not judging is accepting any sort of behavior. That to not judge is simply ignoring God's righteous command, letting sin run rampant, and accept behavior that God explicitly condemns. So when we call out sin, what's often said? Oh, judge not. But that is not what James is talking about. That's not what Matthew 7 is talking about. They're not calling us to set aside every sense of critical thinking, discernment, and righteousness. We are called to judge with a righteous judgment. We are never to accept the behavior that the Bible condemns. We are to be discerning. In fact, in Matthew 7, the context right after that, he tells us to judge false teachers. We are to be discerning. There's a clear mandate to judge as the church. We are to exercise church discipline. We're to judge false teachers, call out false teachers. See, saying judge not cannot be used to silence any sort of accountability or preclude any sort of assessment of a person. We're to stand on the objective truth of God's word and hold one another accountable. That's what our church covenant says, that we're to admonish one another as the occasion may require. So we are to disciple one another, encourage one another, admonish one another. So when he's saying not to judge, he is not saying that we just accept any sort of behavior. So what is James actually saying when he says do not judge? What's Matthew 7 actually saying? Is they're calling us away from a superficial, self-righteous, slanderous judgment. That is why he says there's only one judge. We cannot elevate ourselves to the position that only God has. God is the lawgiver, and God will condemn. And in fact, if you don't believe, the Bible says you're condemned already. So what James is calling us away from, he is calling us to humility, because he says in James 4:6 that God opposes the proud. He's calling us away from thinking we have it all figured out and then slandering others who we think don't have it all figured out. That is what he is saying, not elevating yourself to some arbitrator or God's keeper of gatekeeper of God's law. See, we are not to have a spirit of self-righteousness. We're not to have a sense of moral superiority or think other people are inferior positions. We are not, as Christians, to have a haughty, arrogant attitude about other people. Because grace humbles you. The gospel humbles us. But slander starts with pride, and pride is found in the heart. And James is telling us that we're not on the judge's bench. We're in the dock being charged. We're guilty. We're guilty of breaking the law. That is what James is saying. So if we're guilty of breaking the law, and if I'm guilty of breaking the law and you're guilty of breaking the law, I can't be your judge in that matter. I can't slander you that way. So in verse 11, he goes on, you speak evil against the law and judge the law. What law is he referring to? Well, James earlier references the royal law. What is the royal law? And I think this is what he's referring to when we break the law here, speak against the law. He's referring to the royal law, which is found in Leviticus 19. In verse 18, it says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, right? That's what slander does. It takes vengeance. And then it says, but what you shall do is love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So when we slander somebody, we are breaking the royal law to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then what's neat about this is the context of Leviticus 19. If you go up a couple of verses, what's the prohibition we find in Leviticus 19, 16? He says, do not go around as a slanderer among your people. He says, don't go around as a slanderer. And then he gives the royal law to love your neighbor as yourself. What is James teaching us? Is that slander is not loving your brother or your neighbor. That's the bottom line. Slandering is not loving other people. And we break the royal law when we slander and when we talk down. We aren't loving others. We're not obeying the moral law or the royal law. We put them down when we slander. We hate them when we slander. We look down upon them. Yet we are called to love one another. How will the world know that we are his disciples? By our love for one another. But when we slander one another, we're not loving one another. See, slander will cause discord and disunity in the church. And then he goes on in verse 12 to say, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. He roots it in God's character. We know who God is. God is holy. God is righteous. God is the judge. Yet he sent his son. He is gracious. He is merciful. He's patient with us. He's able to save us from our sins, which he does through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's also able to destroy. Matthew 10 says that we should not fear the one that can kill the body only, but the one that can kill the body and put the soul into hell. And James is saying that our slanderous words are brought before God. God sees our slander. And oftentimes when we go around slandering other people, we think it will never get back to them what we said. And you know what? Sometimes it won't. It will never get back. But that's not what we should be afraid of. God sees our slander. God sees your sin. And God holds you accountable for your slander. Slander may never get back to the brother or sister that you just slandered and demeaned, but God sees it. In church, we live before the face of God. and he is able to save, he is able to destroy. We should fear him when we slander. When we talk down, when we gossip, when we're unduly critical, when we're self-righteous and judgmental in that way, when we question motives and intents and get out into even the parking lot and slander people before we even leave and talk down of other people. You know, some churches get a coup d'etat against their pastors. They'll slander their leaders. They'll be unbiblically critical. And when we do that, we are breaking the royal law of love. We are failing to love one another. When you run someone down, even to your spouse, you're slandering the image bearer of God. When you run somebody down through a text, you're slandering an image bearer of God. When you roll your eyes at somebody at a comment they make and you think you're better because you know more or you do this better or you have this and they don't have that, that's slander and you're not loving them. So even if the slander never gets back to the one who is slandered, God sees it. And a pastoral warning for us is that it will destroy our church if we continue to slander. Slander can do so much damage in a church. Imagine buying a home. You go under contract, you have a 30-day closing, and you got to do all your due diligence. And it's the perfect home, though. It's the perfect home. Right color, right size. It's in your price range. The location is great, right? Location, location, location. It's just fantastic. It's everything that you want. It looks beautiful. Lands, everything's immaculate. But then you get to the termite inspection. And what the termite inspection comes back, it's the foundation and all the studs and the roof just is eaten up by termites. It's completely damaged the structure. It's completely damaged the walls. It's not even safe to live in. It will not stand because the termites have ruined the foundation and the structures. And my friend, that is the very same thing slander will do in a church. We can look and you know what? We can have wonderful preaching. We can have great music. We can have a growing church. We can have great fellowship and camaraderie after church. We can have us a new building. But if we slander one another, we are not loving one another. We're not a healthy church if we're slandering one another, no matter how much we talk about it. The sin of the tongue cannot be overlooked in the church because oftentimes it's the most damaging sin. That even if everything looks great on the inside, slander will destroy it from the inside out. It will eat us alive from the inside. It's a dangerous sin. And it will split a church. It will cause disunity in a church. As I've said before, all it takes to split a church is one slander and two ears. That's all it takes. We must guard ourselves against the sin of slander. No matter how private you think it is, no matter who you think won't hear it, because it's about our hearts and how we view other people. So then very quickly, what do we do if we've been a victim of slander? How do we deal with that sin? Jesus himself was slandered in Matthew 11. It says, look, he said, look at him. He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In fact, it would be slander that would ultimately be the charge that would lead to the blasphemy charge that would get him crucified. How do we deal with slander? I myself, as a pastor, I'll be honest, I've been slandered before. I've had people go around behind my back, judge my motives, call my character into question, unfounded, just run me down behind my back. But honestly, that's probably par for the course. But what is a practical way to handle it when you've been slandered? I'll just say this. I'll quote Charles Spurgeon to you. Brothers, he says, If any man thinks ill of you, don't be angry with him, for you are worse than he thinks you to be. And then he goes on to say, here's the slander part. If he charges you falsely on some point, there's slander. Be satisfied, for if he knew you better, he might change his accusation and you'd be no gainer from the correction. So the reality is that when we're slandered, when we have a right view of sin and our own depravity, we're actually worse than what they're even really saying about us. So we must view that in the light of the gospel. But we also, church, seriously, we must be diligent about the sin of slander. Not only with what we say, but what we listen to, what we allow to come to our ears. We have to be diligent in not giving a listening ear to slander and gossip and evil judgmental talk when it would ever come to us. We'd actually have to entreat and admonish that person. Brother, sister, I think you're slandering this person now. I think you're gossiping about this person. Let's not do that. Because remember, James says actually slander, evil speech, the tongue, can be like this small ember that comes out and sets a whole forest ablaze. And even the small ember, the smallest ember of slander can leave the heart of the person and come out of the tongue and set a church afire. But you know when it happens, you know what firefighters do when a forest goes on fire? They dig these large ditches to stop the fire, to keep the fire from bouncing and keeping it from spreading. They dig these huge ditches to contain the fire. That's what we should be like. We should be big old ditch diggers in the church and not allow the slanderous talk to ever get past us. The slanderous talk should stop with us when it happens. So when slander, gossip, evil talk, when the embers of an evil heart come out in words, we aren't to give ear to it either. I would give a lot of examples of various ways people slander people, but we'd be here all night. But you know when you're slandering somebody. You know it. If you're a Christian, you know when you're talking down on somebody. You know when you're judging them, when you're sitting above them, you're pushing them down to lift yourself up. You know that. I don't have to give you examples. But I'll suffice it to say, as a Christian, if you're slandering, you need to put it away from you. You need to repent now. Turn now. We as Christians are to put away all slander. 1 Peter 2:1, so put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Titus 3:2, slander no one. Even if you think they deserve to be slandered, it says slander no one. Put a gate and a guard over your lips. Because remember, James is not addressing some hypothetical situation. He's like, hey guys, don't slander, but I know none of you are really doing it. God knows what we struggle with. Let's not be naive. We've all slandered each other before. We can't say it's not happening here. That's why God addresses it so much in his scripture. Because he knows what we struggle with. And it's a real problem in our hearts, and it's a real problem in our churches. It's not hypothetical. Slandering and backbiting are real issues. And I challenge you to go through the scripture and find where God ever commends evil speech. You won't find it. He only tells the church to speak what is good for one another, what is encouraging, and what is building up. So then, how do we guard ourselves from the sin of slander? That's a lot of law. A lot of do this, don't do that. But the law is not going to change you. So how do we ultimately change if we're a slanderer? Well, as you know, it is Christ and his gospel. Look at how James refers to the people struggling with slander. Verse 11, he calls them brothers. He goes on. He says it a second time. The one who speaks against a brother Then he says it a third time and even personalizes it. It's not just a brother, the brother over there. The third time he says it's his brother. His brother, his sister. We as a church, we are not like a family. We are family. We are a blood-bought family that God has put together. We are brothers and we are sisters. And we are to operate within the royal law of love, to love one another. God's solution to slander is to love one another. He says in John 13, 35, 34 and 35, as a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I've loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Matthew 7, 12, love does no harm to a neighbor. If love does no harm, it will mean it does not slander. As it's been said, love bites the tongue. Love builds up, it is not destructive. Love edifies. We are to remind ourselves what we actually are to one another. I wouldn't go slandering my real brother, my biological brother, my biological sister. So why should we go around slandering the spiritual family of God that we've been adopted into? We must remind ourselves and think rightly about what we actually are to one another. You're my brother in Christ. If you are in him, if you are in Christ, you're my sister in Christ. We are adopted into God's family. And see, here's the thing, when you get to the gospel, is that we really are all just sinners saved by grace. We're all sheep that have gone astray. We must remember that we are brothers and we are sisters, but we are fellow sinners. And the only reason that you are in the family and the only reason that I am in the family is that God's sovereign grace determined to adopt me into his family. It's not anything that I have done. It's not because I wasn't a slanderer and God wanted me in the family. It's that I am a slanderer. I have gossiped. I have hated. I have failed to love you as I ought. And God's grace comes. It says, you can be in my family. I'll adopt you. You can be a brother. You can be a sister. It is only by the sovereign, free, and unmerited grace that we get to call each other's brother and sisters. It's by grace I am your brother. It's by grace you are God's child. It's by grace we're adopted into God's family. So then we say, who am I to judge my neighbor? See, the solution to slander is to think of one another as we ought to think. That you are my brother and sister in Christ in the gospel. And we have this foundational identity in the gospel. We are sinners saved by grace. So how can we run one another down with slander and talking down? I'm in the same position you are. You're in the same position I am. The ground is very level at the foot of the cross. What I deserve is hell and death and God's wrath for all eternity because of my sin, because of my slander. And it is by his grace he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the grounds for my salvation, the grounds of my justification. He's caused me to be born again, to repent of my sin, to trust in Christ alone. And that is God's work. That is God's doing. That is what God has done for a slanderer. And that is what, if you are in Christ and if you are my brother or you are my sister, that is what he has done for you. He has given Christ to die the godly for the ungodly. He raised him again for your justification. We are sinners. And yet by God's grace, he adopts us into the family and we're brothers and sisters. I should never tear you down thinking I'm better, because it's only by grace I am what I am. And it is only by grace you are what you are. It's not anything in me. And so when we fail, because here's the thing, is that as we continue to live out this life together as blood-bought family, blood-bought brothers and sisters, we are going to fail in this, because brothers and sisters also fight a little bit. And we're going to fail and we're going to slander. Where do we run when it happens? We run back to the cross. We run to Christ. The law confronts us. The law directs us. The law commands us. But the law will never save us from our sin. It is Christ and Christ alone that will save us. And so when we fail, when I slander you and when you slander me, we repent of that sin and we run right back to the foot of the cross saying, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And this is my brother. This is my sister. I dare not be proud or self-righteous and lift myself up by slandering them. I know that it is only by grace they're saved and by grace that I am saved. I dare not slander them and talk down and backbite. Because the same grace that saved them is the same grace that saved me. So we repent of our slander. We lay hold of Jesus by faith. We confess our sins to him, agreeing that we have slandered. And it is by Jesus' blood and his blood alone, he is faithful to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. And he will continue to conform us and change our hearts. He will change slanderous hearts into where we slander each other less and less. But it is precisely the gospel that motivates us not to slander. I can't slander you and lift myself up when I know I am guilty of sin and I need mercy too. How can we be proud in light of the gospel? How can we slander in light of what Christ has done for us? How can I elevate myself to judge when I'm the criminal who's guilty? The only grounds any of us have to stand on, the only grounds of justification, is not that I've never slandered. It's that the one who never did slander, who had no deceit found in his mouth, Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man, died for my slander, and it's forgiven in him. And then, by his grace and mercy, I'm brought into the family of God. So my friend, if you are slander and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, repent of your slander. See how he loves you. And then love the brethren. But you can only do that when you see the demonstration of God's love in the gospel. You can only be motivated not to slander when you see the holiness of God, the depravity of your sin, and the love of God in Christ and him crucified. You can't stop slandering on your own. You must run to Jesus. So if you've never trusted him, you've never repented of that, maybe you feel guilty of your slander. You feel guilty of how you've talked down to others. The reason you feel guilty is because you are guilty. And you're in the dock, and God's the judge. And he is able to destroy. But my friend, he is able to save. And he will save the most vilest slanderer that's ever existed. He will save you if you would call upon his name and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ, his son, from the dead. So in closing, we have a new family through Jesus' shed blood. If it wasn't for grace, I'd be ruined and undone. So we can't stand over one another slandering one another. Church, let's put away the sin of slander. Let's love one another, fulfilling the royal law of love. And the how we can love one another is we see how he has first loved us. To see how God has loved us in the gospel. To see Christ dying in my place. To see all my righteousness found in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. To see the love of God in the gospel. To see that he was risen. Christ was risen from the grave for my justification. I am brought into the family of God. And I will spend eternity with my heavenly Father all my days. That is how we're motivated not to slander one another. So let's live out our new identity in the gospel as brothers and sisters. Let's put away the slander and commit to loving one another, building one another up, saying, I will build each other up. I will encourage you. I will think the best of you. I will assume the best, and I will not stand over you in judgment. I will love you as myself, and I can do that because I've been first loved by the God who is holy and just. May we not speak evil of one another, but may we love one another as brothers and sisters, putting away the sin of slander.
Thank you for listening to Sermon Audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.